There we go. Another cut from Ashley MacLeod's CD, Hold Fast, and really lively Celtic music. Speaking of lively music, we have two musicians that have just come into the studio and settled themselves into the guest chairs. Ian Hepburn and Will Loray have joined us. Hi, guys.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. So nice of you to stop by. Unannounced? No. By invitation. I've been bugging you actually for a long time to
That's
come in.
True.
It's been, what, at least 3 or 4 weeks.
I'm super busy.
Yeah. So aren't we all?
Yeah.
No, I know the reason why he didn't come by. He was waiting for confirmation or waiting for firmer information to be able to share with us. So
that's right.
And now you have the goods, right, Ian?
Well, some of it. We've got some of it.
Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Ian and Will are two musicians, as I mentioned, and together they form a group that performs a program at PCPS here in town, Pleasant Corners Public School, called Healing Harps and Drums.
And Restorative Drumming,
okay.
Yeah.
So you can tell just by the title that there's a lot more to it than, meets the ear, let's say. And so you guys have come in to fill us in on that. But also, there have been a number of opportunities, let's say, that have taken place over the summer that you're going to share with us and fill us in on. So you can tell I'm hesitating to unleash you because I know.
I don't know if you want to do that to Ian.
I know. The minute I hand it over to Ian, it's going to be non-stop powered. Power dump of information.
Get out the duct tape.
We have a great big hook over here in the corner that we can pull out if we need to. But anyway, so in a structured and organized way, Ian, as you're so good at doing, and Will too, you jump in and rein him in when we need to. But tell us about what you guys have been up to and where you're going as well. But we'll get to that in a minute. But
so when were we in last?
Well, geez.
How do you remember that?
Wow, that's
amazing.
I checked
on the website.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Very good. June the 4th. So yep. Lots has happened since June the 4th.
Yeah, wow. Well, the first thing actually was the Music and Arts Summer Camp, which was at the beginning of July.
Yeah.
And so that was great. We had a great time with that. We had 45 kids, and it was one of the best musicals that we've presented. It was really fun.
What was the name of the musical again?
Pirates.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, how can that be the best? I mean, I bet you they really enjoyed that.
Yeah. And then shortly after that, I guess our one of the big event of the summer was our trip down to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So take it away.
Bat Will's microphone there.
Ian and I, we got invited by one of Ian's friends from Pennsylvania by the name of Sarah Jane Williams, who does vibroacoustic harp therapy as well, the mother of vibroacoustic harp therapy, right, Ian?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we went there. We got invited to the center that they have there in Allentown, and they wanted to show us around. They cater to all the needs of kids on the spectrum, mm-hmm. and they assess them and everything. So we had a good tour, and it was a good opportunity.
Yeah, the purpose of the center, they call it the Children's Integrated Center for Success. And the idea is that they bring about 6 or 7 different methods of therapy together so that a child that's assessed might need 3 different approaches to solve some of their difficulties. So it would all be done under one roof, which is kind of like our eventual dream for establishing a center here.
I was going to say, yeah, well, not that you guys have a center or anything, but it sounds very similar to the work that you do at PCPS on a smaller scale, but it's the kind of stuff that you guys are doing now with kids at the school, right?
Well, they're doing it on a much bigger scale, and they're really, really high tech. I mean, they've got computers that analyze what the kids are doing and so on, so it was really interesting. I mean, there's a lot of money there for sure.
Yeah.
But they also offered us the opportunity to share in their research. So that's kind of pending. Mm. But it was really fun to be asked by them.
That sounds really promising, actually.
Yeah, it got us really thinking a lot about what we were doing and the kind of approaches. So on our return, we got in touch with our good friend Brenda Bettridge, who is a psychologist here in the area. And Brenda has been helping us out along the way, helping us create questionnaires and to be sent to the teachers and the educational assistants and the parents. And it just so happens that she also works with a really amazing woman by the name of Dr. June Pym. Hmm. And June has just released in the last couple of months a book called The Autism Story, which takes a very different, well, not very different, but it takes a slightly different approach to the current thinking about autism, its causes and treatment and so on. And June also happens to be a professor at Carleton University, and she's also on the Ottawa Carleton District School Board.
Okay.
And that's where Brenda works, so they know one another that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a really interesting meeting with June, and part of what she was able to do was offer us one of her graduate students to assist us. So that's one of the things that's really just in the last, in fact, week, the student has just got in touch with us.
Wow, that sounds really significant. So you would have somebody actually working with the data that you're producing and,
yeah,
and doing
it. Exactly. And it was really funny because we had already had the results of two different questionnaires, which we had sent out. And when we met June, I jokingly said, is there some machine we can dump this into and it would spew out figures? And she said, yes.
Wow, a dream come true.
Yeah. Yeah. So this student, Alicia Bartlett is her name, will be working with us to make sense of the data that we've already collected.
Mm-hmm.
And suggest different directions that future questionnaires will go, and help streamline what we're looking for in our own work.
Okay, I just got to leave the microphone here for 2 seconds because I have to turn a speaker down that's at the back there that's sort of distracting me. You keep on talking, but give us a bit of background. I think we've leaped ahead kind of quickly. Describe in some detail what you do at PCPS, the kind of work you do with the children there, okay? Both
okay.
of you. So, and I'll be back in 2 seconds.
All right, well, Will will start.
Will will start. We'll take over the room and the microphone. All right, so, well, I do the drumming part of it. My name is William, and basically what I have been doing is doing drum circles with classes, full classes of 30 kids with the teacher, and we've basically been working with, to have social activities, basically. And recently I started seeing smaller groups focusing on one individual or one or two individuals who are on the spectrum, and of course with a teacher present as well. And that's basically what I've been doing so far.
And we should also add that although a number of the children that we do see are on one spectrum or another, it's not the only child that we see with difficulties. I mean, there's a whole range of circumstances that kids would be assessed to us,
right.
Referred to us rather, and so it could be just difficulties working in the classroom.
Mm.
I mean, there's a whole range of problems, and the more you work with the kids and talk with them, you get a little insight into their lives, and some
I
of
bet.
Them have seen
yeah,
more suffering in their 7 or 8 years than we've seen in ours.
Yeah.
So it's been a really eye-opening experience.
Mm.
So William works more with larger groups, with large groups, whereas I tend to do very smaller one-on-one. And so I use mindfulness exercises with some of the kids, vibroacoustic harp therapy, depending on what their situations are and you know, to some degree, they sort of let you know what they prefer too. So you don't want to impose on them, but you want to show them different things.
And I'm curious, just how would the student end up being assigned to spending some time with you guys? Would they be, say, someone who is not being successful in the classroom or is causing a disturbance or that kind of thing? I mean, are they problem kids, or, you know, like, I'm using air quotes here, but are they you know, like, what would send them your way?
At the start of this project, we saw pretty much the whole school, so we had a pretty good idea of which kids to see.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we were only there for 2 hours in the morning.
Twice a week,
yeah. So there is definitely, well, we need to be there more.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there is a need.
There is a need, eh?
Yeah.
But I'm really careful to use the word problem kids because it's very dangerous to use that
Absolutely.
Word.
Yeah.
Because it creates its own problem. You know, I mean, as crazy as that is, you label somebody with whatever the label is, and all of a sudden they become defined by that.
Yeah.
And no human is defined by any one term.
Yeah,
we're all,
I could tell you were resisting labeling, and I didn't want to use it either, but I'm just trying to get a sense of, I mean, you're not doing this with the entire school population, so what is the selection process is what I'm getting at, but I get what you're saying, yeah. And yeah, labels can be really damaging. I mean, you become the label that's been put on you often, you know, like it's not a...
Well, you tend to rise to the expectation put on you. And so, yeah, if you're limited by a label, and in fact, we've seen it in a couple of kids, they will introduce themselves and they'll say, you know, I'm on the spectrum or something or other. And that really makes me kind of rear back because that's dangerous because it means that a child has taken on a label for themselves, which is very limiting to some degree. And it also puts you in a box of what you think, oh, well, they can only do this or they can only do that. But it's only when you get to know them after a while that you realize they're not that limitation. And in fact, that's what I tell a lot of the kids when we do mindfulness. You are not any one thing. I mean, you change from one moment to the next. Mm. You're never the same. Mm-hmm. None of us are ever the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all on the spectrum one way or another.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true.
But we would get a referral from a teacher or an educational assistant or possibly from the administration, from Mary the principal. And it could be for a number of reasons. It could be that there's difficulty in the home situation and that the child might be very disturbed because of that situation and come into school at the very beginning of the day and, you know, they're getting off the bus with problems already. And so sometimes we'll see them first thing in the morning to try and get their day off on the right foot, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very fortunate to have our own spaces in the school, too. It's like the atmosphere is not a classroom. You know, I have my own space in the corner. We put up curtains and everything, and the drums are there, and you can't tell it's a classroom. Same with Ian's room, too. Mm. A bunch of colors and musical instruments and stuff like that.
Sounds really great, boy. I think I would have loved to have had an opportunity like that when I was in school, for sure. This is my personal editorial about this idea. I'm not going to ascribe this to you guys, but the sense that I have, and I have four kids. I've seen the kids grow up. I know. Is that, you know, we take school for granted the way it exists right now, but it is a giant factory. It is a giant machine, a cookie cutter kind of thing. And kids are expected to conform and behave a certain way because they're going through their massive numbers, you know, and not every kid can do that very easily. So it's not surprising that some need some extra help or some away time or some quiet time or some musical time to help them cope with this sometimes really stressful environment. So it's really great that you guys can be out there for them. And it seems that this is like a kind of pilot project still for something that you're hoping will be bigger and maybe available to more kids ultimately.
Well, yeah, right at the moment. And it's really interesting because we had a meeting with a representative from the Ontario Trillium Foundation, which is the body that funds this pilot project.
They've been funding this from
the
beginning.
It's a two-year pilot project, yeah, which we will be coming to the end of, actually, at the end of December.
Right.
So we started January of 2013. And so when we met this representative, he was just reviewing, and he said, you know, we're changing our funding criteria and the way we're accepting applications, which is the first time in 15 years that they've changed. And he said, well, you know, when you started, you came under the heading of arts and culture. And I thought, arts and culture? That doesn't remotely describe what we're doing. And I think I said that to him. And I said, you know, that's just a degree that we've changed over the 2 years, because it could vaguely have been put in that category. It can't even remotely be put there.
Not
now.
Anymore.
I mean,
no.
It really has changed.
Yeah.
And he said, well, there's nothing wrong with that, but you just have to explain what's happened. I mean, it's even that would be difficult because it's changed so much.
Yeah. It fits under many categories now,
it does. And in some ways it has become focused with these kids that we're working. Because at the beginning it was more a student enrichment program, which it still is, but we really have found the focus, I think. And I think the school is pleased with that too, because this is really where there's huge need and not a lot of resources given the numbers of kids that there are affected one way or another.
PCPS is a big school. I mean, they have a population of over 600, I think, don't they?
I think their actual number is 580.
Okay, just under, yeah.
But it's still, relative to other elementary schools in this area, it's a big school.
Yes, yes. I remember Lagan. My kids went to Lagan, and it's under 200. I mean, it's a small school.
Well, at the moment, Plantagenet is somewhere hovering around 40.
Oh, so. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really tiny.
One-room schoolhouse kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you must, I mean, I'm sure you guys are making a difference there, and they're seeing the results, obviously.
I won't use names because that wouldn't be fair, but one woman who's very involved with working with the EAs, the educational assistants and the teachers, said that in the last 2 years since we've been there, she said, I have noticed a really huge difference in the spirit of the school. Mm-hmm. I mean, we aren't even aware of that. It's really amazing, you know, to hear this from other people.
Yeah.
You know, it's Yeah, it's really funny. It really takes you by surprise when you hear a comment like that.
Yeah, I bet. But, I mean, it's you put a lot of work and time into it, so it must be
well, the pilot
gratifying
project,
too.
You know, comes to an end. But right now we're looking for bridge financing, which will carry us through January, the end of this, well, the latter half of this academic year from January to June. Mm-hmm. And then we'll put the next application into the Ontario Trillium Foundation. Of course, there's no guarantee of that, but we're feeling pretty confident.
Yes.
And then that expanded program would take us, we hope, depending on how we do this next project or the next phase of it, to four or five other elementary schools with the possibility of involving two high schools. So we'll see how that all works its way through, and that mm-hmm. we're hoping would be a three-year project.
Mm. So you mentioned near the beginning of the interview that some new resources were being offered to you, the data processing person, that kind of thing. So I know that must have a practical element to it too, which is gathering data and putting it into a useful form so that researchers and other people can use it to, you know, for studies and that kind of thing, for research. But I imagine that will help you in your next application stage too for financing, to have that kind of resource available.
The immediate value of this is that we've got a final report that has to be written at the end of the project in January.
Okay.
So we have to justify what we've done and explain the evolution of the project. That'll be one of the really important
things. Which means gathering stats.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the Ontario Trillium Foundation is pretty, they're pretty liberal and flexible by how, because we were hired as music instructors, we're not statisticians or anything.
No.
But it helps your case, certainly, to be able to have some kind of proof that you have, in fact, done positive work.
Yeah, for sure.
But it also paves the way for the next application. And in fact, really, the final report will be almost the next application. Because what's the point of having a pilot project unless you're going to go on for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, exactly.
At least that's going to be my pitch.
Very good strategy, I think. Call it a pilot project. Then there will be a sequel and a sequel to the sequel. That's great. Well, we're going to take a little break here, guys. And when we come back, I want to talk to you a bit more about some of your musical projects in and around the region. I know, we did a little recording session at the Arbor Gallery, and I'm going to play some cuts from that here if I can get this old steam-fired CD player working properly. when we come back, let's talk about some of the gigs that you've been doing and any weddings. And also, I want to ask you how you came to bring drums and harp together, too. That's a novel concept still to me. And we'll talk about that as well, too, okay? So just stand by here and see what happens when I click on this thing. Are we getting any joy? Will, maybe you can sing a little tune. Here we go.
There we go. A couple of musical pieces by Ian Hepburn and Will Laurie, recorded earlier this year at Arbor Gallery, the beautiful little acoustic space in Arbor Gallery. Ian, do you remember what two pieces did we just play here? I'll let you do the back announce to them.
I wasn't listening. Well, the last one was She's Like the Swallow.
The other one was the traditional French-Canadian.
Oh, yeah, piece. À la Clairefontaine.
À la Clairefontaine. Yeah, right.
That's it. Do. Well, I have to say that we have to do this again because we've changed our repertoire. We've gone South American.
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. You got to hear it. Okay. Well, you will be hearing it if you come to 50 Plus or Houdini.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to talk about here. You guys got three events lined up, one of them back-to-back.
Yeah.
So start with the first one. It's the 50 Plus Attitude, 50 taking plus place at VCI, the 19th of October.
Yeah.
And this is the event itself is the Life and Magic of Houdini, the magician.
Well, that's on the 25th.
Oh, this is the 25th.
Yeah,
yes.
You've got your
oh yes, I've jumped. Yeah, I'm getting out of order. Yeah, you take it away. October the 19th right. is 50 Plus Attitude, which my partner Louise is running. So I better, as you said, I better damn well know when it's happening and where. I'm in big trouble.
Especially if you're doing sound for it.
The confusion is they're both taking place at VCI. That's my excuse. Right. I'm just going to put a cot there in the auditorium and sleep there for the next week and a half. So that's 50 Plus Attitude, and that's happening from 10 o'clock until 5. And you guys are going to be performing on the stage there?
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, I have no idea what the time is.
Yeah, I don't know either, actually. We should.
Yeah, so we will unveil our South American repertoire.
Okay. Lots of.
Dr. Rolando Alfredo Ortiz. I think I've got the arrangement of his names there. Ortiz. Yeah, right.
Is this the same composer that Ms. Wallace?
Yes.
She was a fan
Charlene
of his stuff.
Loves him. She studied.
Charlene Wallace. Yeah, that's who I was trying to remember
her
first name.
I can tell you a funny story, but.
Go for it. Go for it. Come on. This is what we're.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it. Yeah. Well, Charlene had been raving about Ortiz for ages. So I'd done a workshop with her up at CAMAC, the summer, the music camp up in the Laurentians. So when I got back, I thought, well, I had to order the music, and I couldn't get anywhere in Ottawa. So I looked it up on the website, and there was a telephone number, so I phoned it. I had no idea where I was calling. And I was talking to this guy, and I just said, you know, I was looking for some of his music. And he said, where are you from? And I said, Canada. And she said, oh, do you know Charlene Wallace? Well, of course. I said, who am I speaking to? He said, oh, I am Ortiz. Oh, my gosh. And then he went on to tell me.
He answered the phone.
Yeah. And he used to be a doctor, a medical doctor. And then he found the harp and changed his life. And
holy
smokes. We were chatting as though we were lifelong friends.
Oh, my goodness.
I ended up buying $100 worth of music from him. So.
He's a good salesman.
Yeah, he certainly is. It certainly is.
That's a great story. Did you tell Charlene?
Oh, of course.
That's pretty good. So, undetermined time on October the 19th at VCI, but it's going to be part of 50 Plus Attitude, the boomer event that Louise Sproul and Lisa Henderson are organizing as we speak. And it's just chock-a-block full of all sorts of really interesting stuff. In fact, my amateur radio club is considering setting up just outside the entranceway to VCI to be a part of the event. They want to try to snag retiring boomers as they walk by and say, hey, come and join our... You've always wanted to be a ham radio operator, and now's your chance. So it's going to be quite eclectic. I think the other side of the entranceway is going to be Hawkesbury Toyota showing off their wares. So people are going to be bombarded left, right, and center with all sorts of opportunities to spend their retirement years and money and time in many interesting ways. So that's October the 19th. Now I get to say October 25th. Is that right? Or no,
24th.
24th is
Well, if we're talking about Child Haven.
Yes, let's go for Child Haven first.
Yeah.
We're doing these chronologically.
Yeah, okay. Well, Child Haven, as probably many of your listeners know, is this just amazing organization run by the Cappuccinos, Bonnie and Fred, who must be in their hundreds at least. At least. And I mean, I don't know how long Child Haven has been going on, but it's a long time. So they have, I've lost track. I think they've got
maybe
five different orphanages in India, plus Tibet, Nepal.
I was going to say many orphans that are
orphans
depend on them.
Orphans too, yeah.
But orphanages, yeah.
And the amazing thing about that organization, apart from the fact that it exists, is that it doesn't have 1 cent of government money in it. It's strictly supported by voluntary donations from its members. So a big part of that are these gala dinners that they have across the country. Mm-hmm. So of course, Glengarry is their home base.
Yes.
So we're going to be playing as part of that event, along with David Kelleher, who's playing guitar. I don't think we're playing together, but you never really know.
Yeah, it might happen.
Yeah, they might morph into some.
And where's it taking place? At
you know, I actually don't know. They've done it at various places.
The Bonnie Glen, maybe?
The Bonnie Glen, possibly. They've had it there before. Mm-hmm. There's also the recreational center in Alexandria itself.
Right.
Going to be one of those two, I imagine.
Okay.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And again, you're going to whip out your brand new repertoire for this event?
Well, of course.
That's a natural, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, because it fits the combination really, really well.
Yeah.
And I think William enjoys South American more than some aspects of Celtic.
Okay. It's more grooving, you know?
Definitely.
It's your Latin blood. You're a Lore after all, not
a... Oh, yeah, totally. That's
much closer, I think, to the South American. Okay, and now finally,
we get the 25th,
October 25th,
part of the magical event.
Yeah, definitely that.
Yes.
So we're playing during the intermission, I think, mm-hmm. out in the lobby, mm-hmm. and Louise and Larry and Cynthia very kindly and generously offered to let us be recipients of some of the proceeds from that show.
Yes.
We'll go to Healing Harp and Restorative Drumming.
That's the big news about this event. Yeah, it's going to be a fundraiser for
you
guys.
Well, there's probably more big news than that, but we're part of the big news.
It's an excellent show, by the way. Louise and I went to see the presentation.
Oh, it's incredible.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was just totally. That's the first time I'd seen them actually perform.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away.
It was my first time, too, for a full-up show, but they had done a kind of smaller show at the Arbor Gallery.
They've done a couple of things there.
Yeah. And it was fun, too. But this one was, like, really spellbinding. Yeah. I mean, there were moments there where we were sitting on the edge of our seats.
Yeah, and I think that this show, as fun as that was in the jail, because it was kind of spooky, but I think this will be better for the audience because they will be up higher. They'll be on a stage.
Yeah.
Whereas at the jail, you were kind of, if you were in the back rows, as I was, you were looking through everybody else's
hand. It was hard to see, because it was like, there was no rake to the floor at all. It was just flat.
And the really funny part was that at intermission, it was in August, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. At intermission, everybody went out, and when everybody came back in, they brought a billion mosquitoes with them. So that's not likely to happen.
Larry, make the mosquitoes disappear.
Yes, please. Perform your magic. Yeah. So just give the details of this event again. It's Saturday, October 25th, 7:30 p.m. at VCI on Highway 34 right here in Bankley Hill. Advance tickets only, which is kind of rare around here, but you're gonna need it because this is going to be a really popular event and it's limited seating. I mean, I think they're keeping it to about 125 seats. They want it to be very intimate, gathered around the stage, because it is a magic show and you want to really be able to see all the details and all the sleight of hand if you can catch them. So as Ian just mentioned, all the proceeds go to Healing Harps and Restorative Drumming. An initiative of the Bankley Hill Music Festival.
Well, yes, we're part of under the umbrella of.
Thought I'd mention that because we hadn't mentioned that. Under the umbrella of. And they have a big umbrella. So, and I just want to mention, Magynx is the combination of Lawrence LaRouche and Cynthia Martin performing together, along with their daughter, Zadia.
Well, definitely. She's part of the
star of the show, I think.
For the ending is positively blood-curdling.
Don't give it away.
Everybody in the hall was holding their breath.
You want to entice people.
Yes. Well, I mean, you can tell them that it's an escape from a water tank. I think that much, at least. It's quite a feat.
Well, what will be interesting to see is if Larry does his... his escape from the chains inverted.
Yeah.
He was considering doing it hanging.
That's what he said.
Not by his neck.
Not from chains, but from a straitjacket. Oh, and chains too, I guess, but the combination.
But when he did it at the jail, he was doing it on the floor.
Yes.
But the way Houdini did it, he was suspended by his feet. Well, undoubtedly from chains.
Yeah.
And Larry was thinking of doing that. So I don't know whether they worked that out or not. But
I heard that he was thinking of doing it that way. That would be a real treat too. Right. Yeah. So three fun events that you guys are going to be performing at, and too bad we don't have a selection of some of that South American music, but let's play another cut from your CD here and see if I have any success with this.
There is one of those that's vaguely habanera rhythm.
Oh, yeah?
Do you have the titles there, John?
It's
Bagatelle. Bagatelle. Is this the one?
I don't think so.
Oh, oh well, this is what I'm playing. Two lovely pieces of music performed by Ian Hepburn and Will Loray. Okay, now I can't get you guys to stop. Here, we'll just slowly fade you into the distance. Thank you so much. Here we go. So, what were those two pieces, guys? See if you remember.
Bagatelle.
Bagatelle. That's the one that you said had a kind of Latin flair about it.
Well, it became that way. Yeah. We added it.
Uh-huh.
It was sort of semi-classical because it was in the Royal Conservatory piano book.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
In grade whatever. And then I threw in the habanero rhythm and we took off with that.
So this was like your earliest manifestation of your leanings towards...
It's the first foray into it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And the second one was?
Oh, my gosh.
You got an audience out there on the sidewalk. Hello, ooh, kids. Come on in and say hello.
Well, actually, you want to hear a funny story about that?
Okay.
My room, I call my room at PCPS, has a tiny little window that looks out on the kindergarten kids are in there.
Okay.
And they come and they peer in the window. Apparently they can't see through the glass. So I just took my fingers and drummed it on the glass. But you should have seen the reaction. It's like,
look,
it's all ghost. Oh my God. They leap back with this look of total shock on their faces.
They were probably looking at themselves in the reflective glass.
I don't know what
they were looking
at. It's like candid camera. It was hilarious.
These kids are scarred for life. Yeah.
More new customers
for your service. Well, exactly. We'll create them. That's right.
This feels like a self-fulfilling need here that we've got going.
Maybe we better edit that.
These kids are seriously traumatized. We're going to have to calm them down now. So, I did ask a question earlier on. Is my phone ringing here? Sorry. How you guys came together and what and especially I'm really, again, intrigued by the combo of drums, hand drums, and harp. Does that exist anywhere else, or did you guys create some new combination here?
I think it exists somewhere else.
But you're not sure, I can tell.
I've never heard of it before. People seem to have heard it before, but there's this one guy, when we played a wedding late August, he came up to us when we were loading out. And he's like, I'm a jazz guy. I really liked what you guys did there. And he mentioned this group. I don't remember the name, but yeah, there was drum and harp together. So we're not the first ones.
Well,
maybe the first ones from Canada.
Drum and harp, but I don't think drum and harp only.
Only. That's what's unique about this.
Oh,
I mean, there can be drums and harp and other instruments.
Well, I mean, the chieftains, for example. Yeah. I mean, they've got everything. But only drums and harp, I'm not aware of
it. I think it's kind of unusual.
Just that combination.
Yeah. And it works. I mean, intuitively, I would say, I'm not sure, you know, because it's, you know, they don't sound like they're friendly instruments for each other, but it works really, really well.
On the other hand, why not? It's not like you're fighting for the same frequency.
No, that's true.
I mean, the one that's always boggled my mind, and you hear it quite often, actually, is guitar and harp, and that's really difficult because they share a lot of
sounds.
They are, and it's really hard. Yeah, I mean, I remember when you know, the group that was in Imaginary Heaven, we recorded with harp and guitar. And when we were listening to the mixing of it, when we were mixing that CD, it sounded like one big string instrument. Yeah. You couldn't really tell which one was which.
Yeah.
Which was, I mean, it was fine. It was a really neat sound. But, but you know, I mean, the drum and the harp really
That doesn't happen here when you were mixing you guys together. You definitely know this is a drum track, and this one is a harp track.
Sure.
we have somebody walking in off the street here. So. have a seat.
Thank you.
We're doing a live radio program here, and we're just having an interview with Will and Ian about their harp and drum program. And, that's okay. Will, you just sit there tight, and we're going to open up a microphone, and you can join in the conversation in a sec, okay? This is called street level radio, and we just go with the flow.
Well, much music's done it.
Anyway, that's right. Yeah, the big glass windows on Queen Street in Toronto.
Need a bigger window.
And we need some people making faces in the back.
That's right.
Well, we had the kids before.
We had that earlier.
That's right.
So you were about to tell us how you came together.
Well, just after high school, I think it was 2009. I called up Ian. I was in like this progressive rock band, and everybody else knew what they were talking about music, and I didn't, because I learned by ear. I didn't know anything about theory and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I called up Ian. I'm like, Ian, I need music lessons, call me back. Hung up the phone, and he called me back, and we clicked.
And you started making music together?
Well, not instantly, no.
Okay.
I studied with Ian for about, I don't know, 4 years.
On keyboard? On piano?
No, just theory.
Music theory, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I started taking piano with him.
Mm-hmm.
Which really, yeah, I mean, it really blew my mind because William was actually interested in theory. And nobody that I've ever taught theory is actually interested in theory but me. So
most other students just do it because they have to, right?
Yeah, well, they do
exams.
Have to in some cases.
Yeah.
Most cases, they do have to.
Yeah.
But William actually seemed to wanted to do it, which was quite mind-boggling. We even worked through Christmas holidays and Easter holidays.
Holy smokes.
Holiday. Yeah, right.
That's dedication.
It's dedicated.
Yeah. And so when was it that you first decided you'd start playing your instruments together and see how that sounded?
That's you. You approached me.
I guess I must have. I just thought it would be kind of fun to do it. I don't know. We must have had a gig. There must have been a gig that sort of prompted it, although I can't remember what it was.
A wedding?
It might have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was well, actually, the first time that we yeah, it was a couple of days after Christmas, and the weather was horrendous. And we traveled all the way there.
Isn't it always for almost all the gigs you do, Ian?
It's true. A surprising number of absolutely horrendous weather events. Well, this was a couple of days after Christmas, and the bride was a little bit standoffish about having drums join.
I bet.
Well, I
don't want any rock drums in my wedding.
Oh, yeah, rock
drums. Come on.
I'll do a 20-minute Inagata Davida solo for you for free. Moby Dick. I'll throw it in for free.
And I did. I did a rock drum solo. No,
yeah.
It turned out well.
The hour before the wedding, we had to shovel off the steps just to get into the church.
So,
it was quite an event.
Oh, yeah. We went to Denny's after.
We went to Denny's after. Yeah, I won't forget that. It was, instead of hot chocolate, it was a hot
pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin something or other. Yeah, it was really weird.
But what did you have off of the seniors
menu? Oh, no, please.
The seniors menu.
We are not going to discuss.
Oh, we have to. Come on.
No, I know that was something. That was awful.
Something soft that you didn't
have to chew. I wanted grilled cheese. And she said, oh, well, yes, that's on our seniors menu. I nearly threw it at her.
So, of course, he took his cane and he whacked it.
Since when is grilled cheese on the seniors menu? I take exception to that, too.
Yeah, I definitely did.
That's pretty good. Well, yeah, I can just imagine that the recording session that we did together was actually a demo so that you could take it to a trade show, I think, for weddings and
Oh my gosh, the trade show!
Remember that?
We have a lot of stories.
I think the one that
you
never made it to, right?
Well, we did make it, but we never really got in the front door because the car totally conked out in the most spectacular way.
You have lots of road stories, I'm sure. Yeah.
We did get shawarma, though.
We did.
That was a high point of the weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah. We had to be winched out. And the guy who came from CAA said that he'd never extended the full length of his cable before.
You were in that deep.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you guys.
We'd still be there.
Let's go to another cut of your little CD here just to take a break, and we'll come right back. Let me see if I can make this. Here we go.
Slightly off topic.
Yeah. Thank you. Ian and Will performing on harp and drums. And they're racking their brains trying to remember the title of these pieces. How are you doing, guys? Have you got...
Well, we know the first, you mentioned Scarborough Fair. Yeah, Scarborough Fair.
Okay, good, good, good.
And the second one, well, we'll just call it Untitled by Anonymous.
Something from a conservatory exercise book.
Okay, that's fair enough.
And as I mentioned earlier, we had somebody come through the door while we were chatting. Pat has joined us.
Hey,
how you doing, Pat? Let me see if your mic is on here. There we go.
Let me get in there.
Now you're
nice
on.
And close. I've got the screen, so yes. I'm good. I'm good to get close.
We put you on Sean's microphone. Sean loves to hug the microphone, as I mentioned before. He likes to come in real close. So, yeah. So, Pat.
I'm just a runaway. I'm just a stray on the street. Don't mind me.
You've come through the door.
Give me a mic.
We've sat you in front of a microphone, and there you are.
I'll fill the spaces.
That would be great. There's lots of them to fill in this show. Apparently, you're friends with Will.
Apparently, yeah. I don't know.
Apparently. He's disavowing all knowledge of your existence here, but...
I've known Will for a long time.
Will, introduce your friend to us.
Everybody, this is Patrick Campbell, also known as PC.
PC, all right. Politically correct. Or possibly. President's choice.
Yes.
That's another possibility. That's the one. Right
okay.
There. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've got the shirt and everything.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you hang out at YIG in Hawkesbury from time to time?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of hanging out, I saw you hanging out at the granary on the weekend.
Yes, sir.
You were doing the sound for Tandy Klassen and Lorraine, her daughter, and
that was very special.
Terry Gillespie and company.
Yeah, very lucky to be there.
Oh, what a special concert that was!
I'm happy to have known Terry. Terry's, he's taking pretty good care of me as far as doing little gigs like that.
Yeah.
Keeping my brain going with all my schooling and stuff, so that's been good.
How do I want to put it? Like, that would have been a really challenging gig, I think, a pickup. I mean, they were throwing things at you from left and right.
It was just kind of coming out of anywhere.
Yeah.
It was
like right in the middle of it, some guy shows up at the side door, plunks down a set of bongos, a set of drums.
Derek DeBeers, who played with Johnny Clegg, who is one of the most fantastic.
Jaluka fame.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing. He just showed up through the side door. I had met him earlier in the day. I said hey to him because I knew him from school. He used to come in and visit and talk and all these things. And so he came in and I thought, he has his van here and it looks pretty packed. I thought he was going to make an appearance. And then Terry mentioned something. So then he just comes right in and luckily we had a mic to capture his addition.
He was set up in 30 seconds, I think. Bam, bam.
What do you have, bongos?
It was two big congas.
Did you have headset microphones on them?
No, we had an overhead sitting around, this overhead. So I kind of moved it and positioned it so he'd pick up a little more of him. And he had...
Not that he needed a lot of pickup.
He's really loud. He had a Sabian cymbal in the middle, and then he had a...
A tambourine?
Yeah, a tambourine and a cowbell on his feet.
On his foot pedal.
Yeah. He's good. He's going all over the place. Yeah.
And then explain the great big water jug. Like, one of these jugs here full of wooden beads.
Oh, his classic instrument.
That sounds so cool.
I'm pretty sure it's walnuts or chestnuts. Something like that. And he's had it forever.
Whomp!
And he slams it down on the conga.
It sounds like 1,000 drummers... It's like
the most percussive rain stick you've ever heard. Yeah. It's sudden and it's loud and it cuts through everything. Cymbals, saxophone, keys, vocals, guitar.
So cool.
Derek DeBeers.
So that just one element of this concert, eh? There was another set of drums. There were two other sets of drums.
Wayne Stout
was playing.
And then Gnome, he was playing his own conga in the corner.
Yeah, that's right.
Who I hardly recognize. He cut off his dreads. So if he's listening, tell him I'd... Almost didn't recognize the guy.
And he got up at one point and put on a washboard vest.
No way.
Yeah.
With the spoons. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, he's really good at it, too. Really?
Yeah.
A certain amount of skill to wear the body armor.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. And Peter Miserock at the keyboard was doing a phenomenal job of accompanying Tandy. I mean, she was, she was very emotional. It was her last Canadian concert and performance. And, she wanted to tell her story and get really teary-eyed really easily. And he was following her perfectly, just
note for note. He just accompanied, he kept playing as she was talking.
Oh, it was beautiful, beautiful.
He wasn't certain at some times, if he should continue playing. And you could see Jody on saxophone, he looks back, he goes, keep playing.
Yeah, yeah,
goes,
yeah.
Okay.
Is this the guy with the washboard?
No.
Imagine. Keep playing that washboard.
Just like a really soft washboard sound.
Yes, you can get that.
Yeah. Rubber spoons or something.
Just tugging at your heartstrings with that little washboard.
I swear, on my wedding day, I'm going to do that.
Keep it underneath your suit jacket.
That's right.
As a serenade just everybody.
Rip off your shirt at the right moment.
Yeah. But this is what you get. Anyways.
Washboard abs.
There you go. Whole new meaning.
And I just wanted to mention the other elements of that concert. I mean, the bass player, I can't remember his name, but
Andre.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful.
He's fantastic. Really musician. Good bass player.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, though, that Tandy would start singing a song a cappella out of the blue, and they didn't know what key she was in, right? So Peter would search around, and he would nail it, and then the sax would look over at the keyboard, see what he was playing, and he would jump in, and then the bass player, would, you know, and Terry would figure it out. And it was, but, I mean, it was inconspicuous. I mean, they were seamless. It was beautiful.
Very
it was,
good.
They were not hunting and pecking. It was really, really musical.
It was definitely No Woman, No Cry that came on, and it was just kind of just her start singing it, and they all looked at each other, and they just... I think it was Pete picks it up on the key.
Yeah.
And then Terry picks it up, and then they all kind of moved into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bass came in and just
really, swelled in really nicely.
Very organic. Yeah, it was fun. And then another high point for me, actually, that's the point where my tear duct started flooding. It was when Tandy had to stop singing because she was so sort of overtaken emotionally. And Elaine came running, Lorraine, her daughter came running up. Put her arms around her mother, grabbed the microphone from behind her,
and
started singing over her shoulder and finished the song, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think she even missed a beat. I mean, no, it just kept on going.
She's talented. Lorraine's a really great singer, and you could tell she takes after her mom big time because she was right on cue, right on time.
Yeah, and ironically, of the two, Lorraine is the one that really loves the traditional African songs.
Yep.
And her mother, Tandy, is more into the jazz standards and that kind of thing.
You can really tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool that way too. Lorraine is carrying on the tradition of her, you know, where, you know, her homeland and her mother's culture, even though her mother was more into, I guess, more North American music. So interesting. But Tandy has been called by Nelson Mandela his favorite performer. She's played for him, and the way they describe her is she sang her way through apartheid.
Mm. Yeah. And that's apparent in the way she speaks about it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She has lots of stories.
Yeah, great stories. Very, very interesting. And, you know, the whole room. At one point, she put her mic down, and you could hear a pin drop, you know. She just took her mic away, and she was talking very matter-of-factly with her mic away from her, so it didn't feel like a part of the performance.
Yeah, that's right.
Or maybe to stop the piano, maybe to get just off for a second. Yeah. Who knows? But, everybody was very intently listening.
Attentively, for sure. Yeah, we wanted to hear her story. Yeah, it was really something. Anyway. We digress. We were talking to Will and Ian about their music. Follow this, you know.
This is my fault. Yeah, I showed up. This happened.
Hard show to follow up.
Yeah.
But thanks, Pat, for that. It was really fun sharing that
no
concert
problem.
With you.
Yeah. Great.
So you were there doing the sound for that event, and it was impeccable. Really, really good job
with
the sound. And did you actually record it as well?
Yeah, we recorded it. Yeah, I had the whole thing recorded.
Fantastic.
Two and a half hours of it.
Yeah. Will that show up somewhere on YouTube or something?
It'll show up eventually. Terry and I both have a copy. We're both going to work on a mix, and we're going to come together and see who has, you know, the proudest.
The definitive mix.
Yeah. Exactly.
Perfect. Well, we'll look forward to that. That'll be a fun concert to listen to. So you guys were telling us how you came together, Will and Ian, to perform harp and drum music. Who knew? Non-intuitive, but really a real treat to listen to. So you've branched out into offering your services to weddings and events, and we listed the three events coming up in October, November. Why don't we run down those really quickly? We're coming up to the end of our hour here, and I fully expect Sean Cooley, I hope, to show up in the next few minutes, or else we're going to stretch this to 10 o'clock. Pat, can you do a little song and dance there?
You bring your tap shoes? Yeah, I got them. I'll make them.
But you were saying you're playing at 50 Plus Attitude at VCI on October 19th. And then the very next day.
Well, no.
No.
Very next 24th? Week.
Very next week.
Right.
The 24th.
Child Haven.
Child Haven with the Cappuccinos. which is a fundraiser for their endeavors, raising money Child Haven, orphanages, five different orphanages, I think you mentioned.
Oh, at least.
Yes, at least.
Probably more than that at this point.
And many, many orphans that are taken care of by them. They have something like 22, 23 children that they've actually adopted themselves, a house full of kids.
Well, two of the kids are their own, and all the rest of them are from all around the world because they've traveled.
Amazing.
Yeah, they are amazing.
Okay. And then the very next day.
And the very next day.
You're going to be performing at the Houdini.
The life and magic of Houdini.
Yes. At VCI.
Yep.
And the time for that is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Am I right?
Is it?
No, it's 7:30 in the evening.
I was going to say, oh my God.
Scared you, eh? That's low-end.
You got the low-end time there.
Maybe they're setting up a dinner for us. A lunch for us first. We should expect that.
So just to be clear, the life and magic of Houdini, that was a magic trick all on its own. Yep. Taking place at VCI on Saturday, October the 25th at 7:30 in the cafetorium. I hate that word for some reason.
Yeah, it cafetorium. Just doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No.
Does it?
No. It sounds like vomitorium for some reason. Well, Mr. Sean comes through the door. Yay. Well. We were just gearing up to do the whole show for till 10 o'clock here, Sean. He laughs. And this is advanced tickets only for this event. $25 a person and well worth the money. Tickets are on sale at the Review, and as well as several other locations that I mentioned earlier, I think. Is that right?
You mean there's more than one place to get tickets?
That's what I said, but I may take that back because Mad Jinx tickets may be only available here. We'll leave it at... get them at 76 Main Street East at the Review for the Mad Jinx concert. $25 per pop, and they're advanced only. Okay, so... I'm going to play one or two more cuts from from that recording session we did at Arbor Gallery to say goodbye. Anything you guys want to say before we leave, just to wrap it up. Do you have any gigs, wedding gigs that you're doing that you can give us the inside scoop on?
I don't think there are any wedding gigs.
Not the winter. I do have some gigs with my blues band.
Oh, you didn't even mention your blues band.
Ooh, they're great. They're really good.
Yeah, give us a good, give us
how
a
much
plug.
Time do we have there, Jeff?
in 60 seconds.
Oh my gosh. It's a blues band from Lachute. Okay. We mostly play in Lachute. We're actually playing a show on October 30th on Saint-Denis in Montreal. I'm not sure the venue name, but we play from...
And what's the instrumentation? What do you got? A guitar?
We have two guitars.
Two guitars.
Bass and drums. We actually played at the jail. So if you lived in Lorignal, you definitely heard us at the jail.
You filled the whole town with yourself.
Yeah, for sure. So that's what's up with me. I have some side projects, actually, with Pat. We've been writing together.
Yeah, we do a lot of songwriting
together. Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you play an instrument too, Pat?
I play a few, yeah. Oh, yeah, I play a few instruments. I play, I started on drums, but I've taken up guitar and bass and, you know, the spare time and the away from home time when I was in college.
Excellent.
So.
Very good. So we have a lot of talent here in this room. Ian is chuckling in his beard. Where did you say you're performing, Will?
In Montreal on Saint-Denis. I'm not sure the venue name.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just on the street, man.
Just on the street. Yeah,
just busking.
Yeah, Saint-Denis is great happening street. That's excellent. Very good. Well, you'll have to come back and give us a report on that.
Sure thing.
Bring us a recording or something.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for joining us, you guys. And Pat, thanks for
coming
in.
Thank you for letting me in.
Yeah, well, fun to have you on the microphone and joining in and filling in the blanks and the gaps.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so come again sometime and you'll have to give us another update on your program and the funding and that, especially as you file your report and move on to the sequel
next
number
phase.
One. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Of the Healing Harps and Restorative Drums program at PCPS. Okay, here we go with a little bit more of Ian and Will, if I can make this happen here. I keep on saying that, but it's only because I gotta remember to bring the volume up here. Goodbye, guy. Thanks again. So as I mentioned, this is music by Ian Hepburn and Will Loray, Ian on harp and Will on hand drums. Very tastefully done together there. And now we're going to hand over the airwaves to Sean Cooley and Van Cleek Cooley.
Ready?
Ready.
You ready?
We're ready.
Brother Johnny Griggs. On the congos, Brother Johnny Griggs.
Funky chumpy. Rock steady to the freak mode, y'all.